If you are like me, then you've spent more time than is useful clicking refresh on your favorite news site, waiting on guidance on what to do in light of the news that we are now facing a pandemic. If you've been to the store, like most of us have, you might have been surprised by the scenes that you've witnessed. Certain aisles completely emptied of baked beans, paper goods, milk, bread, Gatorade, and the like. You may have received and forwarded emails, heard news reports, and seen posting online offering various types of guidance and advice on what to do. And unfortunately, the content has not always been quite as reliable and trustworthy as we would wish. Your attention might also have been taken up with pressing social concerns that have immediate implications for many in our city. Some are facing questions about the future of their livelihoods in the face of a rapidly changing stock market, extensive travel bans, cancelled sporting events, conferences, and so on. Others are faced with the impossible dilemma of whether they work and so have money to keep a roof over their heads and food on their plates, or whether they stay home and care for their children as so many schools and daycares have been closed. Many people in our communities, country, and our world are facing some very scary circumstances. So where do we go from here? How do we maintain and profess our faith in Jesus when there is so much doubt, uncertainty, and fear? I believe our reading from Romans 5 gives us a reminder of the direction we're called to go in a season of so much that is unknown. In Romans 5, verse 1, most of your Bibles will say that since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. However, this opening verse actually offers us an invitation and a reminder. Without going into the lengthy discussions about the whys, though if you do want to talk about it, I do have some time on my hands. The earliest evidence of this verse in Scripture and from the early church tells us that it ought to read, "Therefore, since we are justified by faith, let us have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Origen, a Christian and theologian of the early church, wrote of this verse that it is obvious that the apostle is inviting everyone who has understood that he is justified by faith and not by works to that peace which passes all understanding, in which the height of perfection consists. You and I, because of what Jesus has won for us, are invited into peace with God, even in a world facing COVID-19. And this peace is not simply an absence of war or the experience of tranquility or life without drama, or even the ability to power through and not lose our heads despite the circumstances around us. This peace is one that brings fullness of life, of well-being, mentally, physically, and spiritually. Something that brings reconciliation with God and order in all of our relationships, where all is as it should be, insofar as we can help it. Where we are no longer fighting God, powering on in things we think we should be preoccupied with. Instead, this peace is found as we trust in him, in humble obedience, knowing that he loves us deeply. Where we work to bring redemption and reconciliation to our relationships with friends, family, neighbors, even enemies. Where we tend and care for the earth and creation that God has given to us. This peace is a reality where relationships of all kinds are not antagonistic or fraught, but are bringing glory to God. It is a peace that enables us to rest, to live, to eat, to pray, to laugh, and even to cry, without being consumed by fear. To be the creatures that we are, knowing our Creator cares for us. Yet for many of us who belong to this church and have called ourselves Christians for a few years, or maybe for many, peace with God is not something we've really experienced. The words from Philippians that speak of peace that surpasses all understanding seems alien, and perhaps at times like the last week, something of an empty promise. Try as some of us might, peace simply doesn't come. What we know in our heads and what we experience in our bones seem as far apart as Jupiter is from Mars. Some are riddled with anxiety and fear, desperately looking for some way to feel in control, while others are just numb to the crisis and to God's peace and wonder why the overreaction. So it's reassuring for us today to hear this invitation and to hear that we are not the only ones who need a reminder. The Roman church also needed to be called back to the main focus of our salvation, having our lives in step with God. They, as we, needed reminding that peace with God is available to us by his grace in which we now stand. And if we're in doubt of what we can do about that, Paul reminds us in Romans that this peace with God is available to us because of and through Jesus. He is the means by which we can have peace with God. That is what the cross has done for us. It's made possible a relationship with God. And it is the means by which our chaotic, disordered, sinful, and broken selves can be reconciled to him. We have been given the grace to follow God's lead in our lives by his Spirit, and so to bring order to the chaos, holiness where there is sin, and healing where there is brokenness, even trust where there is fear, to relinquish control of our lives, knowing that he loves us. Jesus died, Paul reminds us, when we were sinners, not even worthy or deserving of help, when we were fully entrenched and lost in our rebellion and fear. Why on earth would we think that God would abandon us now? He has poured his love into our hearts by the Spirit. He is calling out to be our rock and salvation, and he invites us to know him as the safe port in the storm. Last week, Bishop Mike Hill talked about how being in church no more makes you a Christian as standing in a car garage makes you a car. That's encouraging when you can't be here today. Yet when it comes to living the Christian life, I think for some of us, we might have treated the gospel as though we've been given the wonderful free gift of a kit car. You know, the ones that are like Legos for grown-ups. These people have received the whole thing absolutely free. It even comes with a lifetime supply of gasoline. They've received a gift. Maybe they've put it in their garage. Maybe they've joined the kit car fan club. They've read all about how kit cars work. But the parts still sit there, unopened. They never actually get put together. These people still walk everywhere. They use public transport and Ubers to get around. And that kit car is just gathering dust. Maybe the keys are getting rusty. And all the potential of the car is ignored. Life continues the same. They have all that they need right there. But they've never started the project of putting it together and changing their lives for the better. And how do you build a kit car? One part at a time. The gospel has given us more than a car. This is a work that gives immense benefit to every part of our lives and long before the assembly is complete. It's given us the possibility of changing the whole of our lives as we learn to trust God as number one, the one who shows us the way to go and loves us and walks with us all the way, even when it feels like the world has lost its head and there is panic and fear about all the change and uncertainties that lie ahead. Trusting in God does not mean that we are not wise and discerning about how to proceed in a health crisis like the one we're facing. We follow the guidance given to us by experts in public health and city officials, and we make sure that we are doing everything we can to protect those who are vulnerable among us. We wash our hands. But we do not do so because we are scared or panicked into hiding. We do so because we trust in Christ and not in life looking a certain way. He has overcome the world, and our eternal hope is secure. And we grow in that peace with God as we take small steps, even if it is just one step today, to grow as peacemakers in a world that has lost its head. We live each day taking one step, even if it is just a step away from the news cycle for a few hours, even if it is to not hoard unnecessary items, but simply asking, what do I actually need right now? Trusting that God will make provision for those eventualities that we can't predict. We do so by knocking on our neighbor's door, the one that we know might need some extra help, to check they have all they need. We care for one another, and we pull together. We push back against the fear in our hearts and the lives of those around us. You see, the fear of a pandemic ultimately stems from a fear that humanity has faced since the beginning of time, the fear of death. In so many ways, our culture tries to push death to the fringe. We hide it, we minimize it, we use every weapon at our disposal to delay it for as long as possible. It reminds us of our limits, that we are creatures, and that we are not as in control as we would like. We too often deceive ourselves into thinking that we have overcome death by our own strength. A fantasy eventually punctuated by unwarranted intrusions of death's reality into our lives. And we are in a season where the reality of death is intruding, and we don't know how long it will last. But that is not really anything new. In that sense, this is not an unprecedented crisis. We are not as unique as we would like to think. Russ shared a C.S. Lewis quote in his email that has been shared by many Christians online. Lewis wrote in an age that was facing the development of the atomic bomb and the fear that resulted. I invite you to read the whole thing if you haven't. Lewis, when asked how to live in this atomic age, responded by speaking to the truth that death has always been lurking around the corner. Whether it was the plague in London, Viking raiders who could attack at any time, terminal cancer diagnoses, wars, tragic accidents, illnesses. Part of life is learning to live with the possibility of death and that it could come at any time. So why be afraid? Why not put aside our fears and panic and desire for control and do the things that God has made us for, remembering that we are people of the resurrection? Doing those things that Lewis called sensible and human things, praying, working, teaching, reading, listening to music, bathing the children, playing tennis, not huddled together like frightened sheep and thinking about bombs, or even COVID-19. We are people of an empty cross and an empty tomb. People who trust in one who has not only overcome death, but also emptied it of its power. And he can release its hold on our hearts. As one poem I read this week put it, what if you thought of it, the pandemic, as Jews consider the Sabbath, the most sacred of times? Cease from travel. Cease from buying and selling. Give up, just for now, on trying to make the world different than it is. Sing. Pray. Touch only those to whom you commit your life. Center down. Paul invites us in Romans 5 to know peace with God for ourselves, not just in our heads, but in our hearts and even in our bones. So I invite you to risk trusting in what you already know, to break out that kit car if you haven't already. I invite you to swim against the tide, to resist the temptation to be swept up in the panic, to continue as you always have, within the new parameters of our life together. Let us be peacemakers in a world hungry for hope. Let us remember that we are in Lent and use this moment to face the reality of our own vulnerability and mortality, all the while knowing that our God is one of resurrection. Let us continue to pray, to turn over our fears, repent from our sins, and amend our lives. And in doing so, let us enter in to the peace with God that has been made available to us through the risen Christ. Peace, yes, but not as the world offers. Amen.